Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this will be interesting, Lee.
Well, let's hope so.
Will the Democrats starve Americans, including children, to get funding for the people they care about the most? Illegal immigrants. Will they do that? It's a fascinating social experiment.
That's been to look like they're willing to do that.
Yeah. You know what? If you've got a few extra pounds, most Americans do. You know, maybe that's the reserves the Democrats are counting on here. And when I say that, I've got a lot of liberal trolls I've picked up lately for some reason. We don't want to serve Americans to help illegals. Why are you lying? They're not the most important. Yeah, they are. Let's review. Senator Chris Murphy on MSNBC 2024. Tell us, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who are the most important people to the Democrats?
So you are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe, and it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country. This is also not 2013 any longer when.
Okay. And what he's on MSNBC there. If you're new to the show, I play this a couple times a week just to kind of reset where we are as a country. The people we care about the most, he's actually justifying to Chris Hayes, who's hosting that show. Hayes is mad that they haven't managed to achieve amnesty. And he's saying, well, look, we care about illegals the most. We're sorry we failed. We're trying. And you can see that priority, Lee, very clearly in this budget debate. They want the $200 billion for the illegals because they know they will go home if they don't keep them in Cadillac healthcare. We opened the show with this yesterday. Investigation by the head of Medicare, Medicaid centers, that's Dr. Mehmet Oz, found, I've never heard of such a thing, okay? I've been working all my adult life. I've never had a 100% vision, 100% dental plan free to me. I've never, nope. Have you ever had that?
No, not at all.
Okay, because I got a ton of text on this yesterday. Illegals have that in these Democrat states that were illegally funneling them Medicaid. And even under Donald Trump, we're still finding all the places they hid the illegals on the Medicaid rolls. We've paid $1 billion in the last 3 months across just half a dozen states for these Cadillac healthcare benefits. Benefits, by the way, Dr. Oz says, they're better than Medicare. You worked your whole life to get Medicare? Or you're Jorge and you came over in the last 48 hours, whatever. Whatever. This is Mike Johnson yesterday, and he put this up on the board so you can see it. This is Speaker Mike Johnson. These are the Democrats' demands to us. They put them in writing, so he's got it on the screen behind him. Let's review what's on that.
Because they've been trying to confuse the American people. They've tried to say this is a fight about health care or this or that or any other thing. And it's very simple. They put this on paper. They made this their demand in writing in the record of the Senate, and it has not changed. These are just four subpoints there under fact number three. But there's many more. But among the things they're demanding, This is what the Democrats in the Senate are demanding to reopen the government. They want to give $200 billion in health benefits to illegal aliens and non-citizens paid for by U.S. taxpayers. That is in their proposal. They want billions in wasteful programs to be returned to foreign countries. So we stopped these things. They want to turn it all back on. They're demanding that we do all that to get the government open for hardworking Americans again. They want to give a half a billion to left-leaning news organizations, and they want to cut $50 billion from rural hospitals. We cannot, we will not do those things. And they know that very well.
Well, and that's why they made those demands, because they know Republicans won't concede to that most of the time. So this allows them the opportunity to drag this out even further.
Think about the brutality of that clip there, right?
Oh, yeah.
With the calculation of it. Okay. Keep in mind, the $200 billion for illegal immigrant health care.
Think about that figure. $200 billion.
It's only for 7 weeks. That was only, you understand, that's not for the year. That's only for 7 weeks. Because it does two things. Because that's the $1.5 trillion, right?
Yeah.
And of course, it would also wipe away what was in the Big Beautiful Bill, which closes the loopholes so that Democrats at the state level can't sign up illegals. Because the federal law says, okay, you can't get it from the federal government. In other words, Congress cannot give illegals Medicaid, but it does not say the states can.
Right.
This is pass-through funding. So this is the lie the Democrats are telling. But think about this for a minute. So they're holding up food for poor people.
Yeah, for American citizens.
I'm not going to lie, also some deadbeats.
Well, yeah.
But they're holding up food for poor people and some deadbeats. In an economy, admittedly, we're still recovering from the absolute kneecapping that the Biden and the Democrats did. There's not jobs. We have real jobs numbers. Now there's no jobs. There's no jobs for the illegals. That's why they got to give them the Cadillac healthcare plan or they will go home. And so what they're saying here is we'll starve Americans to get the people we care the most about, illegal immigrants, healthcare. But at $200 billion, this is such a huge omission. Don't miss this, that we spend $200 billion for illegal immigrants' healthcare in 7 weeks in this country. Which that about tracks with what we heard from Mehmet Oz yesterday. They only looked at half a dozen blue states and found $1 billion had gone out in the last 3 months, even under Trump, because we didn't know. We hadn't found it until they did the investigation. So that tracks about right. $1 billion over 3 months in just six states. That adds up pretty well. Or $200 billion for illegal immigrant Cadillac healthcare for 7 weeks. These people are very, very expensive to maintain, Lee.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But they don't think about it. There's a lot of people here who are like, wow, am I going to go back to Guatemala where my village doesn't have running water? That's actually really a thing in a lot of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Or am I going to stay here where I can get my diabetes medicine for free, like totally for free, and go whenever I need to the doctor because these stupid Americans pay for it? You're staying with the stupid Americans every time. We can't do this anymore, okay? Folks, I'm going to get into this today. We are slowly going broke, and the speed at which we're going, it is shocking. It's shocking. I mean, do you realize the national debt was at $37 trillion in August, and last week it hit $38 trillion?
Good grief.
And the Democrats won an extra $1.5 trillion for 7 weeks. Now, you know how that goes, and they do too. Once we spend it one time, once we print it, sorry, we don't actually have it, we have to keep printing it again and again and again because it displaces legitimate economic activity. You stop, it's like you hit a brick wall, you're going to lose a point or two off the GDP. So this is a permanent shakedown. You'll have to print this again and again and again and again. Lee, just to put this in perspective, okay? When we started this mess going into COVID, the federal budget was a little over $4 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking for $1.5 trillion for 7 weeks. I'm going to go through some of this today just to mind boggle you about what we have done since COVID. We have doubled federal spending since COVID. That was like 2021.
Yeah.
You know, 2020, 2021, doubled it. Why? Because we said, hey, emergency spending, we're going to spend $4.7 trillion dollars to pay everyone to stay home. It turns out for no reason because Fauci lied.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, cool. And we'll also subsidize their health care if they're not working. They can't pay for it. Well, once you print out one time, if you stop, you will create the Great Depression. We'll get over it. Economic activity will displace it. But no party wanted that on their ledger, right? A massive economic crash. So what? You got to print a COVID check money every single year. That's why it doubled, $4.7 trillion. Yeah, well, double that. Let's go ahead and double the budget. That'd be fine. And we did. So we have to print that every year. We don't even have places for all this money. Right? I mean, why don't you just keep sending me a check to stay home then? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll do something. Where's it go? This is why Kamala Harris, Google it, Breitbart, personally drove to Maryland to hand out to Democrat NGOs billion-dollar checks. Not million, billion-dollar. They don't even know what to do with the money.
They haven't even spent it, most of them.
No! We're going broke. There aren't enough people on Earth or in this universe to buy all this debt. So now we have to print the money to put it out there. This is not good. And, you know, there was a segment on Fox News this morning, Gen Z can't afford a house. Yes, yeah. That's the price. They're not getting a house.
Yeah.
Because houses, when we started this mess, $240,000 on average. Now it's over $400,000. That's just your average, nothing special, middle-class house. Gen Z not going to buy a house.
Well, part of the problem is that Gen Z is spending like a bunch of drunken Democrats.
Right, I know.
I mean, they're talking about, you know, and the quote was coming from a financial expert who was saying, stop going to Starbucks every day. Stop, or you know, going Uber, take the train. Of course, she's talking about folks that live in the big cities where you have that. And, you know, that was the thing that she was going after them about. And I think they're right.
Starbucks coffee is crap, by the way.
I don't know.
I can't stand it. I've had it. It makes my stomach hurt.
I can't afford it. So I don't, yeah. I mean, I buy their coffee beans and, you know, grind it at home. So
my brother is like a coffee fanatic, right? Like he cold brews all his coffee. Anyway, he studies coffee beans. He was going to open a coffee place at one point. It's a long story. But Starbucks buys cheap beans and then deliberately scorches them to, one, keep the taste consistent across the country, but two, to cover up the cheapness of the taste of the beans. You are a fool if you are buying Starbucks. I don't mean to offend you if you're in the line at Starbucks listening to the show or something, but no, you can make coffee much better and much cheaper in your house.
I'm a fan of Black Rifle Coffee Company, too.
So. Is that good? I've always meant to try that. It is good?
It's good, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've been meaning to try that.
And they have some very good packaging, too, which I like.
Yeah, their packaging is kind of bad, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Makes me feel like I've, you know.
America, yeah.
America, yeah. Give me another come at. All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning, y'all. You know, I was thinking about you guys. If you're up, you know, those who ride with me starting at this time in the morning, you're as dead tired midday as I am, aren't you? This is not a natural time to, especially if you're going home at this time, sleep pattern wise. So I wanted to let you know, yeah, I'm as tired as you are. If you are up and awake and already well undergoing your day at this time. Now, if you're just getting ready to go to work, get the kids off, that's pretty normal time. But yeah, those of you who've been up for hours at this point, like I have, I feel your pain. All right, folks, they dragged the corpse, the Crypt Keeper. They dragged him out, the Democrats did, to talk about how the end is coming and all. Joe Biden warns of dark days under Trump. Dark days. As we fight for what's left of free speech, he appeared with the long-suffering Jimmy Kimmel. Do you know what Jimmy went through? Poor Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy made fun of a guy who got assassinated. And like, you know, I mean, if you went into work and did that, would you have a job? You did that online and it went viral. Would you have a job? No. Well, poor Jimmy didn't have a job for 2 days. See, he would have perma not had a job, but he's a Democrat, has Democrat privilege. And he lied, said the shooter was MAGA. It wasn't. That had been very well acknowledged, including by liberal media by that point. And Jimmy thought he had a right to a job because he's a Democrat. Never mind, he's a Democrat who's lost half his audience since January. Now is pre-Kirk. But somehow, some way, some guy on the FCC saying, you know, this is so obnoxious, ABC should lose their license. FCC Commissioner Brandon Carr, that was a dumb thing to say. I get it, but he wasn't going to lose it. Like, Brandon Carr can't take his license. In fact, it's almost impossible to lose a license. And Democrats know. So for 2 days, Sinclair benched him. And by the way, remember the executives even came out and said, no, we didn't do that because of Brandon Carr. We did it because Kimmel is obnoxious. But this is a free speech atrocity, you see. We are in dark days. And Biden called for us to stand with late night TV host and continue to shine a light on free speech, which he says is going to go out. Is this a joke? Is this a joke? Like, if I was a Democrat, right, the last person on earth that I think I'd bring out to talk about free speech would be the Crypt Keeper. But here he is. You could barely make out what he's saying.
Friends, I can't sugarcoat any of this. These are dark days. But we're one of the only countries in the world that time and again has come out of every crisis we face stronger.
He's with Kimmel, who you will note is on television doing a show, not facing prison. Let's go back and review what dark days are like under Joe Biden for free speech, shall we? Let's start with Mark Zuckerberg talking about the fear of, you know, maybe being thrown in jail for allowing free speech. But worse yet, the saying of true things. Let's remind ourselves what life was like under the Crypt Keeper. For him to come out now and talk free speech, dark days, are you kidding me? Dark days? This is dark day. This is Mark Zuckerberg. Come on. This is, as of yesterday, the second richest man in the world. No, I'm sorry. He's the third. He's the third richest man in the world. And even he is in fear of the dictatorship of Joe Biden.
Basically, these people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like scream at them and curse. It just got to this point where we were like, no, we're not gonna take down things that are true. That's ridiculous.
Okay, but you did. You did take down things that were true. He confessed to Joe Rogan only after Trump was elected and he felt safe. Why did you ultimately, you did take down things that were true, though? What were you afraid of under Biden, Mark Zuckerberg? Tell us again, what was it?
We just said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. Uh-huh. We're not going to take down things that are true. And I don't know, then like, all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating, coming after our company. It was brutal.
I see. That's like political persecution. Sounds like kangaroo court stuff. But the Crypt Keeper says, because Jimmy Kimmel lied and mocked a man who was assassinated and then didn't appear for 2 days on TV, that is the worst free speech atrocity we have ever seen. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unless you think it's just Zuckerberg they were threatening to jail. Unless you think that. What was it like for, I don't know, Elon Musk for merely allowing both sides on Twitter?
Well, X is, I think, the one place where you can find out the truth.
Yes.
And
the only place.
Yeah.
So how much pressure, to the extent you can say, has there been on you to shut it down or to censor it?
Well, I mean, apart from the multiple Democrats saying that I should go, they want to put me in jail, take away all government contracts from my companies, nationalize my companies, deport me as an illegal, and have me arrested because I'm apparently Putin's best friend, nothing besides those things.
Okay, cool. How about this editorial from the Wall Street Journal in 2023 where they couldn't even take it anymore? When the DOJ failed to put Elon Musk in prison on the first set of charges as punishment for allowing free speech, but vowed publicly and openly, not even hiding it, they would win next time. They would put him in prison on what they hadn't figured out yet, but they were going to find some charges. Be like Stalin, show me the man, I'll find you the charges. Those weren't dark days, Crypt Keeper? Because they seem pretty dark to me. When people who merely allow free speech, like on X, have to go into a presidential election night wondering if they'll go to prison. Dark days, you know, like that.
If he loses, man, what?
You're f***ed, dude.
I'm f***ed. If he loses,
yeah, he is.
It does seem that way. You can't just be like, you can't just be like, yo, I.
Yeah, I'm like, how long do you think my prison sentence is going to be? Do you think? Will I see my children? I don't know.
Because it's not like you can say, well, yeah, I maxed out to him, but, you know, I get. You
were I have no plausible deniability.
No.
No, and I've been trashing Kamala nonstop.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, she did. We just openly talk about, you go on our side, we go prison. If they win, yes, it's going to go to prison. Those are dark days. They're over, thank God. Or how about this one? See, I remember all the way back to 2022. Department of Homeland Security shuts down disinformation board. Why? Because it turned out the woman who was going to lead it had promoted the idea that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake and Russia collusion was real, and she was going to be the chief censor under Joe Biden. Dark days indeed. But tell me again about Jimmy Kimmel's suffering. I'd love to hear it one more time. Half their paycheck in the first 48 hours, and 35% of the paychecks gone within the first 12 hours. That sounds really bad. I mean, like, if you're a true crime fan like I am, you've heard this before. The first 48 hours are critical. Police investigations. Yeah, somebody goes missing. Yeah, well, what happens if your paycheck vanishes? Anyway, according to a new report, average American spends nearly 48% of their paycheck within the first 48 hours and 35% of it within the first 12. Okay, but on what? Well, it's especially true among millennials. They spend money faster than any other generation, but most of the spending goes toward essentials. And that's what you should do. You should pay your big expenses first. 52% say they cover groceries or necessities as soon as they receive their paycheck. Others pay bills due within the week, or they take care of major obligations like rent or credit cards. Good. That's exactly what you should do. That's a responsible adult thing. So I don't think this is necessarily bad. 32% also knock out their smaller bills like utilities or subscriptions. Again, really good. 62% of people say it would really help, though, for them to be paid daily. And I'm already emphasizing this to my kids. Pay yourself. Like, what percentage are you paying? I actually ran into the coolest kid. He's 12. And I'm just so impressed with him. He works in his dad's business. So he's allowed to actually work. South Carolina law, you can if it's your family business. And man, that kid's got a set of social skills like, I mean, most people 22, 23 don't even have today. It's just from working. It's from dealing with adults all the time. And he says, I'm saving for a car. And I said, dude, you're 12, right? I said, yeah, okay. Is that the main thing you're saving for? I said, yeah. I said, no. Car's depreciating asset. No, pay yourself first. Take 15, 20% off the top. He said, well, I tithe. And I said, oh, that's amazing. Wow, what a great kid. All right, well, take 10, 15% off the top of that. Put it aside now. Start. I said, because the most powerful force on earth, what do you think it is? Evil? No, there's something stronger. It's compounding interest. It's compounding interest. I said, oh my gosh, if you saw me, you're 12, literally, because as much as he works, I'd say you'll be a millionaire by 30. You will. Just put it away. And the stock market's booming and all. I mean, just put it away. He looked at me like, what? Compound, wait, yeah. And it was lost on him. I was like, oh my gosh, what I could do if I went back and saved all my babysitting money. Compounding interest. Anyway, we're going broke. Yeah, as a country, we are. And the numbers are really astonishing. And like, I think part of the problem with the American people is you're just not told this stuff. But let's just give you an example, okay? The interest payments on the U.S. debt right now are 3% of GDP, 3% of the economy. Okay. The goal for growth for Trump, because this would be considered good, is 3% a year for the economy. Wait, I'm sorry. The interest payments on the U.S. debt are now 3% of the GDP. Yeah. Well, that could stay in the economy. That'd be 6% growth. Yeah. The 3% we're already getting plus the what we're paying. Do you know what it would be like to live in an economy with 3% or 6% growth? It's like the Reagan days would be fantastic. We don't even know. It's been so long. No, the choices of jobs. You'd be able to afford a house. Wages would go up. It'd be amazing. But we waste the money. Why? Because Congress can't say no. Congress can't say, we're broke. It's a great article on this in Red State. And again, folks, just the shock of it, okay? We hit $37 trillion in debt in August. In August. Last week, we hit 38. That's how fast it's going. And we're not even talking about it. The U.S. is broke. And no one in the U.S. seems to care. Red state rights, they're right. The idiots in D.C. haven't passed the budget since 1996. And here's what people don't understand. This is what's so shocking. Remember the one-time stimulus, $831 billion in 2009? Yeah, once you print that, it displaces legitimate economic activity. So if you pull it back the next year, you get a crash, 2-3% of the GDP. So they just print it every year. What do they do with it? Chunk it. The problem we have right now is that we spent $4.6 trillion on COVID response. Turns out we didn't need that. Fauci lied, but whatever. It was never unbudgeted. Why? Because if you stop printing it the next year, you will get a Great Depression-style crash. Now, the economy will fairly quickly recover, we think. We think. But no party wants to own that, so we just print it again. Folks, we printed the $4.6 trillion to pay people to stay home with checks. Where is it? Do you know? I don't know. I've tried to find out. I asked Grok. I asked ChatGPT. Like, if the money we were spending for the checks to pay people to stay home for no reason, because we're stupid, is still being printed every year, it's doubled federal spending on, you know, since COVID is more than doubled. Where is it going? And if it's going somewhere, why do Democrats need $1.5 trillion extra on top of all that for just the next 7 weeks? Don't they have the extra $4.6 trillion? Trillion, mind you. Trillion. Just put that into perspective. $1 trillion. $1 trillion. I mean, $1 trillion. And there's not enough human beings on Earth to buy all the bonds, so we just print the money. This is not going to end well. I mean, these stats, I'm telling you, they're shocking. The world knows it, but it's not spoken of here. And when something is not spoken of in America, it's never good. Folks, Kathy Hochul said it out loud, and we're very grateful to her for that. Governor of New York, the Democrat Party's goal, she was at a rally. If you actually watch the video, you can tell she realized she misspoke as soon as she did it and clipped it. But here's what she says the Democrat Party's goals are.
Take that energy, that passion, and take it into 26 so that we can take back the House of Representatives, take the Senate, and take back our country. With your help, we will. Elect Sorin, and we take back America. Thank you, Queens. Thank you, New York. God love you guys.
Elect Sorin and take back America. Well, no, you're not taking America back. No, because America's never been communist. He's very clear. His goal is to take private property. Been very honest about it. So take back, I mean, no, the Democrat Party ruled America at one point. The communists have never ruled America. Ergo, they cannot take it back. That's their goal. Take back the House, take back the Senate, elect Sorin. So we won't have private property? So prisons will be obsolete?
Are prisons obsolete?
I think that, frankly, I mean, what purpose do they serve?
Yeah. Elect Sorin, take the House, take the Senate. Wow. He's sound. He better hurry up and get elected. because people are beginning to figure out who he is. He's what Joe Biden is. He's a compulsive liar. He is a guy who achieved nothing on his own and is grotesquely unqualified for the position that he has about to assume. He said his aunt was afraid to ride the subway after 9/11 in her hijab. His aunt was not here after 9/11. He's only got one aunt. She was in Tanzania. Her pictures are all over the internet. She's never once worn a hijab anywhere, much less the subway after 9/11. So now Mom Donnie's saying, oh, did I say my aunt? It's also very confusing. I meant my dad's cousin. Yeah, I just call her my aunt. Then why didn't you call her your aunt? Because he's lying. Here's the funny thing about Democrats, though, y'all. They want to be lied to. When you vote for Zohran Mamdani, you do it for the same reason you buy a Starbucks cup of coffee, if you're a liberal or a certain type of person. You want to be seen with the brand. I am a better person than you are. I voted for the guy that wants to rob me blind and give it to the poor because the poor have been so mistreated. And I, you see, am a better person because I voted for the one who wants to shake me down for the poor. They want to hear the lie. They want to hear the lie of, oh, this is a downtrodden Muslim whose own family members couldn't even ride a subway because of the hate. I will fight the hate by voting for him. But it's a lie. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about anybody. What they care about is virtue signaling. Psychological triumph. I am more moral than you. I will vote for the man who hates me and everything about me and everything like everyone like me and everything we have and everything we own because I am better. That's what you get for that vote.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.